special Sunday. We got Chris Biang. He's going to come up here shortly. But first, guys, we're going to pan for gold. Not literally panning for gold, though I hear you can go to an event somewhere close by where they're actually going to pan for literal gold. But we're going to pan for spiritual gold, nuggets of truth and wisdom in God's word. And so we're going to do that here shortly. But I did just get word that Jeff's dad was taken to the hospital this morning for a sharp pain in his chest or underneath his ribs. Let's pray for Ray, and then we'll pray that God blesses the reading of his word. Lord Jesus, I do want to lift up Ray to you. God, you know this man. Your eye has been on him from the very beginning, and you love him, and you desire the best for him. I pray you'd bring the best into his life, whatever that might be, but specifically, God, on this side of heaven, we're praying for a healing. We always want that. We've got this innate desire to live forever. We know it's not going to happen, but I don't know, we just want to keep living. And thankfully, God, because of the promise of Jesus Christ, you said that even if you die, yet shall you live. What crazy words, and yet they came out of the mouth of a man that died and then rose again. So I think you knew what you were talking about. I pray that you would bless Ray with life, however it might come, but we do ask you for a healing. And we ask you, God, to bless the reading of your word. As we dive into your scriptures, I pray you would dive into our hearts and reveal your truth to us and help us to live our lives according to it. In Jesus' name, amen. And I just remembered I start off. So, here we go. All right, so if you got a one-year Bible, you'll want to crack that open. Crack your one-year open or go to the book of Job is where we're going to start. August 28? Right? August 28? Okay. Here we go. Are you guys ready? The book of Job. Here we go. Job continued. People know where to mine silver and how to refine gold. Okay, I didn't even know that was the first line in there. I'm thinking it was just a little divine inspiration there earlier. Okay, I better keep going. People know where to mine silver and how to refine gold. They know where to dig iron from the earth and how to smelt copper from rock. They know how to shine light in the darkness and explore the farthest regions of the earth as they search in the dark for ore. They sink a mine shaft into the earth far from where anyone lives. They descend on ropes, swinging back and forth. Food is grown on the earth above, but down below, the earth is smelted as by fire. Here, the rocks contain precious lapi and lazuli. Okay, that's a type of rock. I can tell you about it later. But it is. And the dust contains gold. These are treasures no bird of prey can see, no falcon's eye observe. No wild animal has walked upon these treasures. No lion has ever set his paw there. People know how to tear apart flinty rocks and overturn the roots of mountains. They cut tunnels in the rocks and uncover precious stones. They dam up the trickling streams and bring to light the hidden treasures. But do people know where to find wisdom? Where can they find understanding? No one knows where to find it, for it is not found among the living. It is not here, says the ocean, nor is it here, says the sea. It cannot be bought with gold. It cannot be purchased with silver. It's worth more than all the gold of Ophir, greater than precious onyx or lapi lazuli. Wisdom is more valuable than gold and crystal. It cannot be purchased with jewels mounted in fine gold. Coral and jasper are worthless in trying to get it. The price of wisdom is far above rubies. precious peridot from Ethiopia cannot be exchanged for it. It's worth more than the purest gold.
But do people know where to find wisdom? Where can they find understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all. Humanly, even the sharp-eyed bird in the sky cannot discover it. Destruction and death said, we have heard only numerals of where wisdom can be found. God alone understands the way to wisdom. He knows where it can be found, for he looks throughout the whole earth and see everything under the heavens. He decides how heard the winds should blow, and how much rain, and how much rain should fall. He made the law for the rain and set out a path for the lightning. Then he saw wisdom and echoed it. He sent it in place and examined it thoroughly. And this is what he says to all. Humanly, the fear of the Lord is true. Wisdom to forsake evil is real. Understanding. Job continues speaking. I long for the years gone by when God took care of me, when he lit up the way before me, and I walked safely through the darkness when I was in my pride. I long for the years gone by when God took care of me, when he lit up the way before me, and I walked safely through the darkness. When I was in my prime, God's friendship was felt in my home. The mighty was still with me, and my children were around me. My steps were awash in cream, and the rocks fresh olive oil for me.
Those were the days when I went to the city gates and took my place among the honored leaders. The young stepped aside when they saw me, and even the aged rose in respect at my coming. The princes stood in silence and put their hands over their mouths. The highest officials of the city stood quietly, holding their tongues in respect. All who heard me praised me. All who saw me spoke well of me. For I assisted the poor in their need and the orphans who required help. I helped those without hope, and they blessed me, and I caused the widows' hearts to sing for joy. Everything I did was honest. Righteousness covered me like a robe, and I wore justice like a turban. I served as eyes for the blind and feet for the lame. I was a father to the poor and assisted strangers who needed help. I broke the jaws of godless oppressors and plucked their victims from their teeth. I thought, surely I will die surrounded by my family after a long good life. For I am like a tree whose roots reach the waters, whose branches are refreshed with the dew. New honors are constantly bestowed on me, and my strength is continually renewed. Everyone listened to my advice, and they were silent as they waited for me to speak. And after I spoke, they had nothing to add, for my counsel satisfied them.
They longed for me to speak as people long for rain. They drank my words like a refreshing spring rain. When they were discouraged, I smiled at them. My look of approval was precious to them. Like a chief, I told him what to do. I lived like a king among his troops and comforted those who mourned. But now I am mocked by people younger than I, by young men whose fathers are not worthy to run with my sheepdogs. A lot of good they are to me, those worn-out wretches. They are gaunt from poverty and hunger. They claw the dry ground and desolate wastelands. They pluck wild greens from among the bushes and eat them from the roots of broom trees. They are driven from human society, and people shout at them as if they were thieves. So now they live in frightening ravines, in caves, and among the rocks. They sound like animals howling among the bushes, huddled together beneath the nettles. They are nameless fools outcast from society, and now they mock me with vulgar songs. They taunt me. They despise me and won't come near me, except to spit in my face. For God has cut my bowstring. He has humbled me, so they have thrown off all restraint.
These outcasts oppose me to my face. They send me sprawling and lay traps in my path. They block my road and do everything they can to destroy me. They know I have no one to help me. They know they come at me from all directions. They jump on me when I am down. I live in terror now. My honor has blown me in the wind, and my prosperity has vanished like a cloud. And now my life seeps away. Depression haunts my days. At night, my bones are filled with pain, which gnaws at me relentlessly. With a strong hand, God grabs my shirt. He grabs me by the collar of my coat. He has thrown me into the mud. I'm nothing more than dust and ashes. I cry to you, O God, but you don't answer. I stand before you, but you don't even look. You have become cruel toward me, and you use your power to persecute me. You throw me into the whirlwind and destroy me in the storm. And I know you are sending me to my death, the destination of all who live. Surely no one would turn against the needy when they cry for help in their trouble. Did I not weep for those in trouble? Was I not deeply grieved for the needy?
So I looked for good, but evil come instead. Sorry. I waited for the light, but the darkness fell. My heart is troubled and restless. Days of suffering torment me. I walk in gloom without sunlight. I stand in the public square and cry for help. Instead, I am considered a brother to jackals and companion to owls. My skin has turned dark, and my bones burn with fever. My hope plays sad music, and my flint accompanies these who weep. When I come to the city of Troas to preach the good news of Christ, the Lord opened a door of opportunity for me, but I had no peace place of mind because my dear brother Tyrus haven't yet arrived with a report from you. So I said goodbye and went on to Macedonia to find him. But thank God he has made us his captives. Sorry. And continues to lead us along. In Christ, trample for possessions, now he has uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere, like a sweet perfume, or lives of a Christ-like fragrance, raising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved, and by those who are piercing. We are a gateful small of death and doom. But to those who are being saved, we are life-giving perform, and who is a what? Adequate for such a task as this. You see, we are not like the many hunters who preach for personal profit. We preach the word of God with serious and with Christ's authority, knowing that God is watching us.
All right, Psalm 42. As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Day and night I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, "Where is this God of yours?" My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you. Even from distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar, I hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. But each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me, and through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. O God, my rock, I cry, why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts break my bones. They scoff, where is this God of yours? Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Proverbs 22:7. Just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is servant to the lender.
Good job, you guys. All right. So you heard it. Now you can wrestle over those truths. But right now, Chris Biang is going to come up here and he's going to share with us his own nuggets of wisdom that he's gained over the years. So guys, let's welcome Chris Biang. from Grace City Church.
Well, good morning, everybody. I was looking around the city this morning, and none of the flags are at half-mast that I know of after the big loss yesterday in football. Well, I think it's Decorah lost to, I won't mention names just to get things stirred up, but it's a serious issue. So, you know, I noticed as we were reading, you just realized that, Tim? Yeah, and you should be excited. Yeah. And I'm shocked that I'm all the way from Madison, Wisconsin, and I know about it. Yeah. So I was kind of amazed this morning as we were doing the reading that the one person trained in geology read the first passage from Job. And I just go, okay, this is stuff right up his alley. He wants to talk about rocks and minerals that nobody ever knew about. So I'll talk about them for a minute. That's a little bit accurate portrayal in Job. We, our family went to a mine outside of Houghton or Hancock, one of those towns up in the UP, and there's a old copper mine that you can take a tour of. And there's an actual area where they took us in the mine and showed us where guys would hang on ropes into the rock faces with their chisels and chisel out copper. So if you want copper, you want iron, you go north. What do you get if you go immediately south and east?
Clay.
This is still Iowa, so you'll get black. No, you get lead and zinc out of Dubuque area. So there's, it's a huge area around there. But if you want to get what's even better, which is what the scripture talked about, you got to get in the Word, because you get wisdom in a different way. And I'm so excited that you guys are doing the yearly reading, because like it or not, it's going to have an effect in your life because you're reading it. And God's Word, He sends it out, and He's not going to go out without accomplishing the work which He sends it. And so if you understand that you can be kind of a messed up person inside, but you start reading the Bible and studying it, you're going to get some wisdom. So before we get to the topic today, I thought I would do the first slide here. Do we have my slides somewhere? Well, partially because I like you guys, and we're part of a church group called Midwest Church Alliance, and so there's a few churches that have banded together from Indianapolis all the way here to Decorah, and I'm in one of those churches, and I'm helping serve in those churches. I've known Bob since 1973 at Iowa State. Did you know Iowa State is the most prestigious Midwest school in Ames, Iowa? just letting you know these little facts. And then Tim Borseth, they let him out of, high school, for you to go study at Iowa State as well. So we've had a history off and on for years together. That's been pretty good. I heard, but we have kind of an ethic within our churches of wanting to serve one another. And in that, I heard rumors that Bob and a bunch of you went to Janesville a few weeks ago. Who all was on that group? We have two, three, or, yeah. Well, James, okay. And so Janesville is part of our association. Yeah. And, hey, great, I'm glad you got that. And Dan Wolf's daughters, well, they've gone to our church and graduated, but Aika was telling me how excited they were to have you guys come in. And that's Dan Wolf's daughter. He's the pastor. Also, there was Purdue people there and Chicago people there. And so you are all very instrumental in going out and talking to people. And I think the big part was eating the brats afterwards. They have a picnic or something. Anyway, that's the kind of thing we like to do together. And then after this, I get to be with your pastors, and we get to go to a very exclusive Chinese restaurant. So very exclusive. So anyway, here's our first slide today. I know you guys are aware of COVID. We have a slide. Yeah. So I'm going to call this getting your shots. Now, I am not going to get political about all this vaccination weird stuff that everybody goes crazy about. But in a lot of ways, what you're doing with the one-year Bible reading and with personal disciplines is the same as getting vaccinated against a myriad amount of diseases. So why don't we pray so that you can have ears to hear? And now, do I have to 2 o'clock? Is that how far I can? Yeah, I know you're all excited. I go, whoa, 2 o'clock at night. But why don't we go ahead and pray, and then we'll use the time. Lord, we want to thank you today that we're here this morning. And I thought it was going to be a bright and beautiful day, which it is, above the clouds. And meanwhile, down here, it's a little bit drippy. But your word is still alive. Your fellowship here with the believers is awesome. And so we ask for your grace to help us to hear today and to build some disciplines in our life to help us to have a good and fruitful life. Amen. So some of you don't know me a whole lot. I became a Christian the first week that a team came to Iowa State University to share the gospel on their Christmas break. And I have been trying to follow the Lord up and down since then. That was in 1972, so that was 50 years ago. And in that time, I got married, since she's passed away a few years ago with MS complications. But I have 5 kids, and 4 of whom are married and 4 of whom have 4 kids. So there's quite a crew at family reunions. And from what I understand, they're not done yet, which I have to have a computer program to remember all the birthdays. I have it in my Google Drive, so I go, who do I send cards to this? Anyway, but one of the things that drove me as a Christian early on was that I wanted to follow Christ as a disciple and be a part of reaching the world with good news. And so from Ames, I went to Michigan State on a team with some guys to do a church plant there. And from Michigan State, went to Chicago to do a church plant there. And then from Chicago, went to Purdue and did a church plant there. And then 4 years ago, went to Madison, which is where I'm at now. And I want to be a part of getting the gospel out and encouraging others that are doing it too. Like Bob and Tim moved here with their families a few years back. I don't have any idea. Being a church planter is a hard thing. But all the rest of you guys have benefited greatly from their sacrifice. And so today we're going to talk about what can make your life different and what's made Bob and Tim's life different. I've talked with Bob a lot this last spring, and I don't know how anybody that knows the Bible more than Bob does. Now, I'm sure Tim knows all kinds of stuff, but Bob, I go, oh, man, you're like a walking Bible on wheels or something. You know, you know everything. And so what we're going to do is look at this next slide. We're going to get into what does it mean to get shots. So my year in school, I was the first year in elementary school where there was no kids with polio. And the year before, there was kids with polio, which is a disease that FDR had, which kept him in a metal frame because he was, you know, an invalid. And then there's J. chickenpox, measles, rubella, mumps, all that kind of stuff. And I'm not a mother. I don't know what all the kids are supposed to get shot up in their arm with all these, but you're supposed to get shots that will keep you from getting these diseases. And I know I have some little mark on my shoulder, so I got some kind of shot. And I know I had a hard time sitting down a few weeks ago, so I know I had another shot in a different location. But what it is here, a live vaccine, as opposed to dead one, is a partially live virus that is put inside of you but has become weaker so that it doesn't develop into a full disease. Your body then has antibodies, I guess they call them, and builds all this stuff up. You're getting a free class here for your, biology, no credit. So you get all these antibodies in you so that if you ever do get close to the actual disease, boom, it's attacked and it doesn't affect you. And so a live vaccine is kind of an interesting thing because it has to be alive to accomplish what it's meant to. So right now, a few years ago, I was in a club called Rotary Club. Has anybody ever heard of Rotary? Okay. Usually if you drive to a little town somewhere, right on the edge of the town, it says Rotary Club meets here, or Lions, or Kiwanis, or whoever else is there. And Rotary Club had a mission to eradicate polio from the whole world. And they got pretty close, except for some tribes that didn't trust anybody and wouldn't get the shot. And so polio's kind of popped up in a few places since then. But it's disappeared. And thousands of people used to get it. My dad had it, and it made it difficult to live and move around a lot. Now people don't worry about it. Why? Because they have a live vaccine. Let's go to the next slide. Okay, what we have is an old vaccine. Let's look at this verse here, and this is called God's Word. For the Word of God is living. It's like polio vaccine. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So this is Chris Biang's physiology class right here. So you get a Bible verse into your heart, okay, and you memorize it, and it's living, and so it's kind of poking around inside of you. You know, there's how many of you in here are selfish? I am. And there's good selfish and bad selfish, but I have both. And so selfish sometimes needs to be stopped, especially if you're married. And, you know, because you want to be nice to your mate. So here's the Word of God poking around inside of you, and it's a living thing, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit inside of you, he grabs little verse. I'm going to make up some verse. Thou shalt love your wife. Boom. He gets you right there when you don't want to love your wife. And you go, oh, yeah, I promised that I would do that. And so you end up getting a little living action from God's Word. And it's got an agenda. It's alive. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. There's one other place where two-edged swords are mentioned in the Bible, and that's in Proverbs. You can look it up sometime, but it says sin is also a two-edged sword. So you have your choice to allow sin to motivate you or to allow God's Word to motivate you. But here, God's Word, if we have it in our life, is like a vaccine that will fight for the good things that we should do. It will pierce our selfishness and our double-mindedness and all this stuff that goes on inside of us to help us get to where he wants us to go. And so he also, the Word also has an agenda. We're on the next slide here. An agenda is a list of things to do. How many husbands in here know that their wife has an agenda for them? Yeah. It's called a to-do list, okay? You know, and so you have things to do. Well, let's read this verse together here. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you receive the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it is, really, what it really is, the word of God, which performs its work in you who believe. So it's the last part of this verse is pretty interesting. It performs its work. Did you know that Bible has an agenda in you that when you read it, it's living, active, sharper than a two-edged sword, but it wants to perform its work inside of you who believe? So I was reading this and I go, well, how do you know if you believe that verse or everything you're supposed to? Well, I just decided that that meant that I had a respect for the work of God's word, and belief for me in that situation meant that I put it into my life. I positioned myself under the benefit of God's word. So I may not understand every aspect of that particular Bible verse or passage, but I respect the work it has enough that I want more. And so I put myself under it like it's a shower head. If you want to get a good shower, you got to get under the water. Well, I want to get under God's word. And if we do that, it's going to perform its work in you who believe. So if you have problems in some area, memorize verses in that area or study that area. Get the word in your life, because that shows that you believe that's important. You respect its work. You respect its job, and it accomplishes what it is. You know, I'm trying to go fast through this teaching because I heard you don't want to go to 2 o'clock, so we'll see what happens. So for some of you that sin, is there anybody in here that sins still? Yeah, I just want to make sure there's a show of hands. Tim, both hands. And if you sin, this next slide could help you a little bit. Psalm 119, 11. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So let's say you're out thinking about some kind of selfish thing you want to do, and somebody puts a roadblock in your way. Well, generally, there's a result. It's called you get mad. You quarrel. And we're not supposed to quarrel. It says that in James. I'm trying to remember the verse. I had it memorized. Yeah, Bob. It's 4:1-2, baby. You want to read that out of your memory? You don't have that verse? Pleasures which wait against your soul. So inside of us, thanks, Bob. See, he listened. Nobody else thought of that, but Bob is the source. I don't even know why. We should just have Bob up here and just shake him loose a little bit. But we have God's word, and when we want to do something, so let's say I've really set my heart. Do you have Taco Bell here? Oh. Well, let's say you did, and I'm really set my heart after this time. I'm going to meet with Bob and Tim. I go, let's go to Taco Bell. You know, I've been looking all forward to this all morning. And they said, nah, we don't like Taco Bell. And I go, what? You know, you can get the runs at the border and everything. And this is just, my dream is to go to Taco Bell. And Tim said, nah, we're going to go to the Dragon, Great Dragon Chinese place. So I get inside. I get a little mad. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Okay, so we're going to have a quarrel here. I go, Tim, you know, I came here all the way to Utah. No. Also to teach a little bit. But you're thwarting me. What's the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Isn't that your pleasures? My pleasure is to go to Taco Bell, and his is not. And so we're bumping heads, and we're going to fight because my pleasure is being thwarted, and his pleasure is being thwarted. And the person here. So what these do, what this does is it causes fights. I rarely, if ever, I don't remember, but I'm old. I don't remember fighting with my wife because we had a rule that if we got tense, we would separate and go get alone with God and work on our pleasures, which waged war against our soul, to the point that we would serve the other person. Doesn't mean we didn't have problems, but we nipped it before it became bigger. And I would suggest any of you, we're getting off here, but any of you have quarrels and conflicts with people, stop it. I told my our church, but it's so easy, I just stop it. Yeah. I told our church, they were asking questions. We usually do a teaching, and then we have a discussion group or groups afterwards. And we were talking, and I said, you know, we never talked about anything difficult past 9 o'clock. Because I'm tired, my emotions may be a little bit closer to the edge, hers are. But if men use that as a rule with their wives, they better offer her another time earlier in the day to talk. Because if they don't, that's the only time she has your attention. And you should better give attention earlier so that you don't have stuff come up late at night when you're both kind of weak and tired and you can get quarrels. We don't need to have that. We need to be caring for each other. So anyway, what happens here is that if I have areas that are given towards different sinful pleasures, I want to memorize a verse on that. That's what this verse says in Psalm 119. And so I dig up a verse somewhere. I used to have all these elaborate methodologies. I had a little wristwatch with verses printed on it. It wasn't really a watch. It was kind of a fake one, but I printed stuff just to get the Bible. I used to have, does anybody know what a pocket New Testament is? Okay. Well, now we have the other pocket New Testament here, but we used to have these, and I remember I used to work for a painter, plumber kind of guy, and we'd stop somewhere, and he'd go in, and I'd pull out my New Testament and just read it on break, because I wanted more verses, not as much as Bob wanted them, but maybe Bob needed them more than I did. but you know, I wanted God's word to be pervading my life. And I wanted to not sin against him. And I read this verse and I said, okay, I need to have God's word in my life. So let's go to the next point here. Next slide. Okay. I'll let you just read that and then I'll talk about it. Could you guys read that way back there? Again, okay. So there's two words per word in the New Testament. There's one word which is called logos, which means truth. Jesus was the word was with God, the word, you know. And that's used quite often. But there's also another word, rhema or rhema. I don't know for sure how to pronounce it, rhema. And he also knows how to pronounce different rocks and things. Yeah, yeah. And so here, these two words are always just words. So we don't know which is which unless we look into the Greek and find out what the real, you know, translation word it was, which is helpful to have a Greek translation in, or transliteration, whatever they are. Anyway, so rhema is a word spoken to you by the Holy Spirit. And quite often, it's something that you've memorized. So you have a whole bunch of verses in your life that you've memorized about stuff, and you're kind of in the middle of something, and God may bring a thought to mind. And so I have this definition here that he may take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and he may jab you with it to motivate you in an area that you need to grow in or obey in. How many of you are just, you know, doing your normal little job somewhere and all of a sudden some little thought comes to your head that wasn't there a minute ago, but it's to take some kind of action or to talk to a person that you don't want to talk to because he's out of your comfort zone. Generally speaking, people don't mind being talked with. They love to talk, but they want you to listen and not just dump on them. And I had a girl in our church, I said, when you share the gospel with people, do you dump it on them or do you share it with them? No, I think I dump it. Well, she learned that as a method. That turns people off. Nobody wants to get told all kinds of stuff. They want to have a conversation. They have questions answered. And so here, if the Holy Spirit is telling you to go talk to somebody, go ahead. But the idea here is that he will give you scripture when you need it. And I'm kind of excited about it. It kind of personalizes the faith. And it's better if you kind of talk with him a little bit and say, hey, Lord, you got stuff for me to do today. Let me know. Because it makes you a little bit edgy in a good way. Just go, oh, I got to keep an eye out. What is he going to have me do? And being out of our comfort zone. So Tim is over here doing some fact checking. Is it okay so far? What is Greek? Oh, yeah, I knew that. Oh, did I say that? Yeah, well, that's because you were in the dorm. Yeah. Not in a Greek house, which I wasn't either. So here, think about that, that the Holy Spirit always works with truth, but he will personalize truth that's there if it's there. And so it can develop your relationship with God. Now, how many of you are, I was going to say lazy bums at memorizing, but I won't say that. How many of you find it difficult to memorize Bible verses? Yeah, I do too. So why do a whole bunch of them? Just do what you need. And so you only need one verse that says Jesus is God. Maybe more than that if you don't believe it. But one, you know, one is enough. And so I would memorize one verse. Now, Bob, he wanted all of them. So, you know, he's a whole different story. He would memorize everything. I usually memorize one of each thing so that I had a good understanding of everything I needed to know from God's word. And then after usually I memorized them because I had read them. I go, oh, this verse is a good verse, and I should have this verse in my life. And so memorization was an important thing. So you might want to have a list in your own life of verses that you're memorizing. And there's all kinds of methods to work at memorizing. None of them are very easy. I had a roommate one time. His name is Jeff Moore, and he went on to be with the Lord a few years ago because of cancer. But he would just spout off chapters that he memorized in the Bible. What is going on here? You know, he was a pretty smart guy, but he had a way of doing it, and he could just memorize a chapter of the Bible. I would usually be able to get the title. Oh, Timothy. That was it. Yeah, but he would have everything. Well, everybody's a little different, but we should have something. And so here to memorize, but with the memorization, to meditate. Does anybody know what the Iowa definition of meditate means if you're from a dairy farm? So what does a cow do after it gets the grass? Regurgitate. And that means that it kind of chews it back up a little bit in a sense. But it, and I think ruminate is probably a proper term too, isn't it? Yeah. This is our other scientist up here. And so you get a cow, eats the grass, goes boom, down there in the belly. Later on the day, there's a little time on the cow's hands. He's sitting there going, I think I'm going to get the most benefit from this grass. I'm going to regurgitate and or ruminate. Did anybody ever take a look inside the cow? Didn't you have a little port? They would put a porthole in the side of the cow and open it up, and you could see this actually happening. You, you should go on YouTube and look it up. But it's a way that the cow would get the most from the grass. Well, we too can meditate on God's word, which is kind of similar, by asking questions about the Bible verse, by studying it, thinking about it, sharing it with other people. If you share it with other people, this could become more a part of your life. And then as you do this, you're going to find your life is different. I tease Bob a lot, but I was kind of impressed this last spring as we were talking. We would talk every week on Zoom. And I go, boy, Bob, put some effort in this. You know, if you're working at a dairy farm all day long, there's nothing else to do but to memorize the Bible. And, you know, and it was a good job. And I think it's caused his life to be different than it used to be. And it's God's word. I don't think he can boast in anything extra special other than that's what God has given him. So I'd like you all to, as we're at the end here, to be thinking about what did I hear today that I might need to incorporate into my life this next week or experiment with. And, you know, one of them might be to go, hey, Bob, what verses should I memorize this week? Or, okay, let's ask Tim. Okay, Tim, I know you don't have anything to do all week. What verse? I'm pretty comfortable with these two guys, but I respect them a lot. What verses might help me in my life that I should memorize? And be in a consistent Bible. So some Bibles are not translations. They're, what is it? Transliteration? No. Yeah, it is, but that's not what I'm looking for. Paraphrase. You don't want to get a paraphrase, which is, I think, what you're reading. Yeah. I think the ESV might be a good translation because it's free and it's modern. I have New American Standard that wasn't free and wasn't modern, but it's what I started with, and I don't want to have to re-memorize all the stuff that I did over the years. So I'm still sticking with that, but it's God's Word. So I encourage you to take some time with God's Word and maybe even different times during the day, just open up and read a little bit and see what God has for you. And then as you walk through the day, what the Holy Spirit may bring to mind, because you've got a big city to reach here, and it's going to happen by you guys getting out of your comfort zone and talking to people and just starting to love people. And I think it's going to be an exciting thing. So why don't we close in prayer? Lord, we thank you that this whole year has been one of getting into the Word, and I think it's going to have its fruit. And we thank you that the Word is like a vaccine that's alive, and it has an agenda, and it's living and active. And we want you to work in our lives to such an extent that we can boast that it was your power in us and it was your Word. We just want to position ourselves underneath the spigot of the Bible so that it just pours into our hearts. So help us not to be resistant, but to, in a sense, be greedy for your word. And so we pray that you bless our day today. Amen. Oh, here's Bob. Were you here today?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.